Hello, I'm Chuck Tomasi. Welcome to another Mutual of Technorama's Wild Kingdom. Today we're stalking the wild MP3 file. We're lowering Craig down to the website to tag a file while I sit up here in the helicopter and make sandwiches.
Okay, I'm almost there. Just logging in now. Okay, got it.
Careful, Craig. Those files look big. One bite from them and you're a goner.
Whoa, that was close. I'm going to try and isolate and normalize one of the voicemail shows. They're a little bit smaller and should be a little easier to handle. Their format isn't quite as developed. Whoa, got it. Right behind the intro. Now to get in, tag the file and get back in the helicopter and grab one of those ham on rise. Artist, title, group, year, almost there. Genre?
Greg, the other files are coming back. You better hurry.
Album? Oh, geez, the comments. Album art. Done.
I sure hope Craig had his insurance paid up. And if you need insurance, turn to Mutual of Technorama. Well, that wraps up this episode of Technorama's Wild Kingdom. We're going to need a new co-host again.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video. Whoa, dude. Whoa, where'd you come from? Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for March 12, 2008. If this is your first time listening, welcome to Technorama. Thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is my partner, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good, and apparently I'm not daylight savings time compliant.
What, you forget something?
Yeah, I was eating breakfast at 8:30 thinking I had about another 40 minutes before I had to leave for church. Guess what? I was an hour late.
Whoops. We had one kid in Sunday school. He said, "Mom, how come I'm eating breakfast in the middle of the night?" We also have my daughter Lisa here. How are you, Lisa?
Good.
She's joining us and has some witty insights. And we have a topic to discuss with her. She's on the hunt for something.
Uh-oh.
We hope you can help us find it.
Much like me in the intro?
Meow.
That's right.
Coming up in this episode, we've got a Mac Mini that's been steampunked. We've got an Etch-a-Sketch clock. That ought to be interesting.
What's a Mac Mini?
And a list of obsolete skills. We'll tell you all about the Mac Mini right after this.
On this day in tech history for March 12, 2008. This is March 12th. It's the 72nd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 294 days remaining in 2008. It was on this date in 1876 that Alexander Graham Bell successfully speaks the first words on a telephone by calling for his assistant.
Watson, is your refrigerator running?
Also on March 12, 1894, Coca-Cola is sold in bottles for the first time. I guess paper bags were just a bad idea from the start. On that same date in 1928 in California, the St. Francis Dam fails, killing 400 people. North Korea says that it plans to withdraw from the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and refuses to allow inspectors access to nuclear sites on this date in 1993. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1824 to Gustav Kirchhoff, the German physicist. American automobile pioneer Clement Studebaker was born on March 12, 1831. On that same date in 1835, Simon Newcomb, the American astronomer and mathematician, was born. English chemist William Henry Perkin was born on March 12, 1838. Also on that same date in 1880, Henry Drysdale Dakin, British-American biochemist known for the Dakin-West reaction. Finnish physicist Gunnar Nordström was born on this date in 1881. American astronomer Dorrit Hoflight was born on this date in 1907. And finally, William Shira, the American astronaut, was born on this date in 1923. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for March 12, 2008.
This is Nidway from Dad's in his ovens. And by the time I'm 18 years old, I'll need to know the binary language of moisture evaporators. Therefore, I listen to Technorama with your host, Chuck Tomasi and Greg Stepp.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, I guess it does.
Welcome back.
Hello, it's a goldie birdie.
Not that kind of Nordstrom.
Birdie 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 birdie.
I won't do it.
Birdie birdie in the butt. Hey, just want to let everybody know that we've got a contest going right now. It's called Caption the Tune Contest. Krishna over at PC Weenies was gracious enough to create us a political cartoon for Pod President. If you go over to podpresident.com and check out the cartoon we've got over there, we're looking for captions. You can put words in my mouth or Craig's mouth or Bob, or just put a caption underneath the cartoon or any combination thereof. The winner will get a signed finished copy from Krishna, which I think is worth like 10 or 15 bucks is what he charges. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a cool cartoon. It very is.
It is. If you don't subscribe to PC Weenies, we love it. It's got good stuff every week. It's kind of like Dilbert. You'd swear Krishna was in the cube next to you going, "We just did something like that."
Yeah, it's like Dilbert for tech heads.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? Is I have an Uncle Bob.
I know funny. What is that?
That looks a lot like Bob. But he was in IT until he retired about 5-6 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Kind of strange that way.
He was short like that, but
he wasn't quite that short. I mean, he's about 5'10 or so.
But he had those little eyebrows that kind of float over his head.
All right, let's check out what punishment the chat room is dealing us. Give a shout out to the chat room. Looks like they've taken on a knitting theme.
Knitting? Oh, what?
We have Bomber Button, Country Yarn Signs, Captain Rootbeer, Cross Stitch Frog, Deb Drop, Dr. Decoupage, and Crochet One.
Captain Rootbeer.
Hey, by the way, I thought it was like Crockett. I was thinking it was Miami Vice theme. And Crockett
No. It's great. Karik Sindru, Knit One Eliza Too. Lord Cat, Mad Needlepoint.
He's just mad about Needlepoint.
Mark Shepard, Mike King, Missing Intellect, Mr. Stitch, Nightstar Soul Blaze, The Giant Bead, Tim Knit, and Zaha Doom.
Zaha Doom does not knit.
It's not manly enough.
Why do you have a piece of tape on the back of your desk?
I don't know. Maybe the desk was falling apart.
It's clear tape.
I don't see that side of the desk. Maybe there was a sign that said, "Please keep off the couch."
It was put there as a reminder for Chuck to do something, but didn't remember what it was for.
But I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
There's still more.
Looking at the birthday calendar on the wiki, we have... Oh, look! It's Country Signs... Country. What is she now? Country Yarn Signs birthday on the 16th. And on the 18th, Greg Lim...
see if I can spit this out. Greg Lemon from the Myth Show and Myth Minute.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you. And if your name is not on the wiki, you can put it on there at technorama.wetpaint.com or chuckchat.com/wiki and add your name. We'd love to give you a shout out. Even if you're not on there, happy birthday to you if this is your birthday. We wish you all the best.
Happy birthday, Lisa.
It's not Lisa's birthday.
Well, at some point it's going to be, so I thought I'd wish her one now.
You're almost as far from her birthday as you can get.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When is your birthday?
October.
Last October would be the farthest I could get away from it, Chuck.
No, that would have been her birthday.
The day after my birthday.
No, because then you're only one day away from your birthday. Are you talking next birthday?
Yes.
This sounds like The Price is Right. The person with the closest bid without going over.
Is this the same conversation we have every time when we discuss time differential stuff?
Yes.
We stink. We need Dr. Kaku on here. Oh, speaking of which, wow, that was an accidental segue.
Yeah.
On the 11th, which, of course, this show comes out on the 12th, you probably already heard it, but we've got Dr. Kaku. So Friday the 7th, we had Eric Vincent from software.com. The 11th, we've got Dr. Michio Kaku. And then on the, what did we say, the 21st, we've got
second
part two of the Computer History Museum.
Let me check the calendar, Chuck. I believe it's for the 22nd, but I'm
why would
wrong
we release something on a Saturday?
I don't know. Is that a Saturday? Okay, you're probably right then. Yeah, the Computer History Museum on Friday the 21st.
You guys are retarded. Gosh!
You don't even know what retarded means.
Lisa likes Napoleon, right?
Especially when he falls over the fence.
Yeah, and a flam, and keeps running. I think my favorite part is when Rico throws a steak and pegs him right on the bite. That's funny. How many times have you seen people getting hit in the face with a steak? Come on, that's comedy gold right there.
You're right. You watch that 100 times and it's still funny.
Yeah.
But first, the news.
Craig got quiet.
Huh?
Good news, everyone!
Looking at the news, you've got the only story in the newsroom.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me pull up the show notes. Yes, the Skywalkers cross Han. Can you believe it?
That's comedy gold right there.
Actually, some people skywalking on tightropes crossed over the Han River. Is it the Han River? Was the first world's high wire championship in Seoul, Korea. And it's the Han River. So I just thought that was funny. And the title is actually Skywalkers in Korea cross Han Solo.
I thought this was like some kind of mashup or mix-up of the characters or something.
Yeah, here,
this has nothing to do with Star Wars.
No, let me read a little bit piece of it. They came from all over the world, poles in hand and feet ready to inch more than half a mile across a high wire strung over the Han River in a spine-tingling battle of balance, speed, and high anxiety. Anyway, it's kind of neat. They got some pictures up there. You can check it out. And it just reminds me of some guy trying to do a high wire thing over the Niagara Falls, you know.
He's gonna fall! He's gonna fall!
Oh! It wasn't a pole. It was a dual lightsaber he was holding.
The Darth Maul kind.
So.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after this.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
Hacks and strange stories.
And my, I think we've got so many hacks and strange stories, we're going to need to take a break in the middle of these. Lisa's got a question. What is it?
How come Craig kept getting quiet and then loud and then quiet?
I don't know. Maybe your headphone. You know, I think this amplifier, this headphone amp, is in need of repairs.
I'm talented like that.
Okay.
She wasn't even wearing the headphones when you said that.
See how much control I have over my voice? I can make it low.
What?
Anyway.
You can make a cutout like on Skype. Yeah. That's cute.
All right.
Either that or he's choking on a ham sandwich. That was waiting for him in the helicopter in the intro.
I need the Heimlich. Anyway.
No, thanks. All right, first story. We got at least a couple of emails on this one. This is a Mac Mini that's been steampunked.
Well, when you look at it, you can't help
Wait a minute. We got to back up because Lisa asked, what's a Mac Mini?
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Mac Mini is about the size of a sandwich, Lisa. It's a Macintosh that sits about an inch and a half high and about 5 inches square. It's as big as a CD-ROM, a little thicker than a sandwich.
What kind of sandwich?
A ham on rye?
A thick one. Yeah, a ham on rye. Actually, it's about the size of a CD jewel case, but it's taller. It's a little bit taller, so it's a small computer that Apple makes. I'm surprised.
Why would you want
a
small computer?
Why would you want a big computer?
Because it has a big screen.
But this is just the CPU part. You can hook up the screen separate and the computer separate.
What about the computer that's inside the screen?
That's so an iMac. Computer. Different kind of thing.
Too bad.
Yeah, they're sexier. Right? But really, Lisa wants one of those 30-inch cinema displays.
Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't?
Okay. Anyway, this guy took a Mac Mini.
You know what? That's one of my campaign promises, that everybody's going to get one.
And what are you going to do when you can't deliver on that promise?
I'll blame it on Steve Jobs for, not
making
them
too expensive.
No, it's the supply and demand chain. He can't produce. So. Anyway, let's talk about the Mac Mini that gets steampunked. And yes, we got a bunch of emails on this, and I saw this thing, and I just knew we had to talk about it.
It's gorgeous.
Mac Mini that's been removed. Yeah, it's gorgeous. It looks like he took the Mac Mini out of the case that it comes in from Apple and put it in a tin, and has the tin all printed up nice. It says The Apple Computer Company with a nice fine detail on it, Cupertino, California, USA. It's awesome. Everything from that to the keyboard and the monitor that goes with it.
The keyboard looks like he stole it off an old Underwood typewriter.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? If I'm not mistaken, this guy has on his website a thing about him making that particular keyboard and what he did. Because I remember seeing that and that monitor. It's beautiful. It's an awesome thing.
And that comes from where? What's the site?
It's from over at Gizmodo.
Yeah, but the site was like steampunk art, if I remember right.
Yes, steampunkworkshop.com.
That's what it is. Okay.
Yes, because I just told you.
Well, yeah, I followed the link myself, but I forgot. I have a spotty memory.
And he has a bunch of other projects over there, too. Let's see, he has a steampunk
LCD. Yeah, those
LCD,
are cool.
What you see?
Those are cool.
Yeah, he does have the keyboard on here where he shows the pictures of him making it. So yeah, go over there, check it out. He's got galleries galore.
What else have you found? We got lots of goofy stuff in Hacks and Strange Stories tonight.
Yeah, this one was kind of odd. This was the Apple floppy disk amplifier.
The what?
An amplifier? You know, the old floppy disk that was with the Apple IIs and stuff that would sit off to the side? This one, maybe this is a little newer one. Same idea. You know, it's a little bit thinner, but it's got the lines across the top of it. You know what I'm talking about?
From Make Magazine. What a great way to recycle the old computer equipment you have lying around in your house. This instructable, has lots of pictures along with the detailed descriptions for each step of the build. I really like Jeff's idea of creating a mock-up in a Tupperware container. This could keep you from drilling any unnecessary holes or ruining a good case. An amplifier for, like, a car?
Some kind of set of speakers or something. No, you could use it in your house, you know.
You know what I just realized? That thing's about the same size as a Wii.
It's tiny.
The floppy drive is the same size as a Wii.
It is.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
Yes, it is.
Technology's amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought this was kind of interesting, but at the same time, you could really put this in anything. But it does look like a cool floppy drive.
Oh, here's something Lisa might be interested in.
Oh, yeah?
Over at, waiting for Firefox to catch up. It's playing a little slow today. Over at Engadget, 12-year-old breaks everything he touches.
Fun.
12-year-old Magneto Man breaks every computer he touches, confirming our belief that some people are just bad with computers. A boy named Joe, we'll leave him as Joe F. today, from Pulaski, New York, seems to have simply the worst luck ever, and some people think it could due to an overly magnetized touch. While using PCs at his elementary school, Joe, who dubs himself Magneto Man, found that every system he laid his hands on went totally haywire. Only after the teacher suggested he use a grounded anti-static wrist strap did the systems experience relief from his Geek Squad-inducing grasp. Wow. You know, you've worked support, right? You've seen people like that.
I was going to say, he's not the only one. No, as a matter of fact, I think we should stand up and say no against the X-Men. The mutants have to go.
This 12-year-old must go.
No, I know a bunch of people that I've had. I don't know if... I'm sure people have... I have a problem with static electricity, especially when it gets a little dry. Man, I mean, everything I touch is... You know,
and certain computers are more sensitive than others as well.
This is true. And, you know, I've always wondered how sensitive the computer would be to static electricity when your keyboard's mostly plastic. You know, how does that actually transfer, I guess? But I don't know.
That's a good question. Maybe it's from the mouse. Hey, I was rolling down the highway. Speaking of something that has nothing to do with what we were just talking about.
Rolling down the highway
looking, on my way to work, and I pass a Saturn dealership.
Chuck, were you looking for adventure as well?
No. I pass a Saturn dealership, and their scrolling sign, you know, says the time and temperature, but it also says Saturn has a sale on pre-owned Ions.
All right.
And then Donna reminded me that all the atoms in the universe are already pre-owned. And I thought, boy, I feel kind of used right now.
Were they negative or statically charged?
You think about it. Pre-owned Ions. How would they sell those? What's the showroom floor look like? How do you keep inventory?
Yeah, they're a pain in the butt to count.
It was just a geek thought as I'm going down the street.
You're thinking
ions
too much.
Cars.
Ions are cars, but ions are also...
See, look there. Look at there, Chuck. Right with you is the voice of reason.
She's ruining the whole show.
Yeah. Ruin our jokes, man. All
right. I'm having a geek moment here. Work with me, Lisa.
I don't think I can do that.
Hey, you know what? I smell another intro there.
Another intro or another sweeper?
Neither.
Having a moment here. All right, what's the next story?
Now, this I saw and I knew 90% of our listener base could appreciate. This is the most disgusting and gross tech gear gallery ever. Now, in here, you'll see pictures from dust bunnies being pulled, well, more like Sasquatch being pulled out of the computer. Horribly dirty mice. Everything from what looks like, I don't know.
What? Is
I'm
that?
Not sure what that is on
it
that
looks
first
like a
picture there.
Dell ice know. Cream cone got melted and moldy.
It does look kind of weird, but you know, I've done computer work in warehouses and machine shops, and the mice just look horrible. You know, some guy comes in and just they use it, and it's got crap all over it. Keyboards are nasty. You take the keys off, and you know, there's crumbs all in there. I've talked about this in the past. I used to work for a company who installed vertical software for a veterinary clinics. So I've traveled around and installed the server and the software and everything. And I'd have to upgrade some of the computers. And as I did, you'd open it up and it's like hair. A lot of them have dusty driveways. So there's like dust and hair and it's horrible. Ugh. Can't imagine what I breathed.
This guy takes his fingers and scoops it out in there, and he's got, like you said, a Sasquatch on his hands.
Now, come on. That's proof Sasquatch exists.
It's cousin It from the Addams Family.
Now you've worked on people's computers before.
My favorite story is still the one that I got from the diesel engine repair service.
Mm-hmm.
That had to take it apart, and all the components were so gross that I literally put the chassis in the sink and scrubbed it out.
Oh, I remember. You know, I'd probably just go buy a new one, dude.
Well, this was in the day with, I think it was an actual IBM PC or XT. It was too expensive to throw out.
Yeah. Well, you know, this one time I opened a computer case, and I'm reaching in, and I'm, there's like some dust, and I'm, you know, pulling it out. And I'm like, what is these? What is this little stuff? And I'm pulling it out, and I'm like, it took me a moment, and then I realized it was evidence that a mouse had been in there. Boom-tsh. It was leftovers from the mouse.
Lisa thought that was funny because Skype cut out, and you just kind of made your own rim shot there, buddy. We have no idea what the punchline was.
Y'all just laugh a little bit, and I'll just edit this up later, and it sound like I'm really funny.
I'm sure it was.
See? It's crazy.
Also over at Makezine, we've found the Etch-A-Sketch clock. This guy hooked up a little circuit board. Maybe this is a good project for you, Lisa. Do you have an Etch-A-Sketch?
No, not anymore.
Little circuit board and a series of motors that would turn the knobs at just the right time and would spell out on the Etch-A-Sketch what time it was, once a minute. And it would flip the thing and erase it and then come back up and draw the time on the screen. Cool. So it's kind of like a giant poor man's LCD.
That is cool.
I want that.
That was really neat.
Get to working, Dad.
Yeah, great.
Hey, you know, some of the things that Steve Jobs announced at the iPhone, iPod Touch thing the other day with the SDK?
Yeah.
One of the things, I'm going to have to go look for the video, but they were talking about how you can make changes to some of the pictures, and then you shake it like an Etch-A-Sketch to undo the changes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a pretty cool little idea. You shake your iPhone to make the changes go away.
Cute.
Yeah. There's some cool stuff.
All right, Easter is coming, and over at slashfilm.com, apparently Craig has found the Star Wars Last Supper mosaic.
Yes. This guy took 69,000 photos out of the Star Wars films, which is probably a good chunk of it. Wrote his own algorithm to stitch these together to make a mosaic of the Star Wars Last Supper scene. And it has pictures of, you scroll down, you can get a sense of Luke's face with all the images around him. But if you pull back, there's...
Oh, it's a photo mosaic. Okay.
Yes, it's a photo mosaic. And you scroll down and look at the big picture. Ooh. It is awesome. It looks great. But to see that it's made up with all those images is really, really cool.
And Leia has the, you know, tilt to the right, just like the real Last Supper. But I'm not sure what Darth is raising his hand for. Maybe he's the one who betrayed Luke. No, other way around. We'll go into a break.
Do it.
This is Phil Clark.
And this is Mike Lingefelter,
hosts of the pubcast from the Brit and Yankee, www.thebritandyankee.com.
Hey, Phil, are you the Brit with the bad British accent?
I should say so, Governor. But I'm trying to learn how to speak proper American now from this Technorama Craig guy. Listen to this. Hi, y'all. Come on down now and check out the Technorama Geek Fest.
Okay, Phil. Go back to drinking beer.
Yeah, okay. So it's season's greetings to all the Technorama gang from me.
And happy holidays from him. 101.
This is Terry Dawson from the Appleton Public Library, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
And according to Craig, he's remembering something else.
Legos. Now, we talk about Legos on Technorama all the time, but, you know, my son had saved up his money since Christmas. And some birthday money.
Mm-hmm.
And bought the Legos Mars Mission Eagle Command Center. The thing was huge. It's like a big set. It's got a rocket. It's got some alien ships, which I didn't know that we were battling aliens on Mars. But, hey, in the Lego universe, anything's possible. So, but it comes, you know, so they have these astronauts that come with it and the whole set. And we were putting it together yesterday. We didn't quite finish it throughout the whole day or the afternoon we were working on it. But it is amazing. And as I was starting to work on it, I was starting to have flashbacks of, you know, working on it, my own little kits, trying to make a Millennium Falcon, you know, with like This is before they started doing the Star Wars Lego stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd have like square looking Millennium Falcon trying to, you know, imitate Star Wars, you know, characters or whatever on with Legos. But I was just thinking back about how much fun it was to actually put the stuff together. And he was over there. It came with two manuals to work on the different parts. And I gave him part of it and was kind of guiding him until he got going. And it was really cool to see him putting the stuff together. And I was over on my side trying to put together my stuff. And it was just a lot of fun, you know, just remembering back how much it was to make your own toys, you know, with Legos.
I don't know that we've played with Legos too much, Lisa, have we?
I was little and I would chew on the big fat ones.
Oh, is that your teething tool there? Okay. But you know, what else I thought was interesting is they got a lot of specialized parts now. And I guess due to computer CAD, they can design some really cool, intricate parts and, you know, mill them out. But I was thinking, man, some of these parts, I could have totally used these back in the day, you know? So if I ever go back in time, I'm going to take some with me. Yeah, you know, give them to myself.
Sure. Actually, Lisa's got another project on her mind. About a year ago, Craig sent me the Minty Boost, which Lisa helped solder together. And she's got soldering on the mind again. We're looking at, if you've listened to the latest Dancing, well, I think it was a show or two ago, Dancing with Elephants, Nikolai got a snap-together electronics kit from his uncle.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. And I asked him, I said, where did you get that? And he pointed me to elenco.com, ELENCO.com. And Lisa's been poking around. We've got our eye on, what, about three projects, Lisa? What are you looking at building?
I don't remember.
One was the phone handset, right? And there's another one that was a wireless microphone that transmitted to an FM radio.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
And what was the third one? The FM radio to receive the signal.
That would be good.
Yeah, they should sell those as a matched pair.
Yeah, right.
What do you want to start with first, Lisa?
I don't know.
Do you have a preference? They're all like 25, 30 bucks. Not too bad.
Some were like 10.
Yeah, 10 if you wanted to build like just a clock.
Yeah. Well, hey, those kind of prices, well, I mean, you can't really put a price like that on building something yourself. You know, that's just too much fun anyway.
It's educational.
Yeah, exactly. But I do have a bit of advice if you're going to do some soldering, Lisa. You want to hear this?
Okay.
Do not wear shorts when you're soldering.
Is that kind of like frying bacon with your shirt off?
Yeah, don't do it. Actually, the first time I soldered anything was my dad was at work, and he kind of showed me how to solder. But he was at work, and the light on the front of my train quit working. So I thought I'd fix it, right? You know, simple soldering job. And so my mom calls my dad, and my dad's like, yeah, go for it. Just be real careful. So I'm in the garage. And I let the soldering iron heat up, and I go to do it. And what's the first thing I do? I drop a bead of solder right on my thigh.
And I'll bet you still have a scar.
You never see me dance something, you know. I was doing a pretty little dance trying to get that thing off my... Oh.
Kind of like Snoopy doing his beagle dance.
Yeah. Yeah. But I did get it soldered, and it was a lot of fun. And I've soldered all kinds of junk together.
Lisa's pretty good at it. We got to get her back on the soldering iron.
Hey, you know something else I've done? You can use bread ties as wires.
Oh, you're right. Well, as long as you don't put too much voltage through them.
Yeah, I've done that before. You know, I didn't have enough wire, so I strung together like three or four bread ties.
You can also use coat hangers as wires, too.
Well, they don't have any insulation, but sure.
Or paper clips.
Did you hear about the story last week that, I forgot who it was. It was some college students, I believe it was. They were comparing the quality of Monster cables for audio gear.
Right.
They were hooking up amps and speakers and things. And they said, what sounds better, the Monster cable or this other brand X? But they didn't tell what the other one was. It was just some coat hangers that they had soldered together.
Yeah, I do remember that. So what was the outcome?
They said the coat hanger sounded better.
Yeah, it's big heavy gauge. You know, that's funny.
Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
The things you spend money on that you don't need to.
And I bet Monster Corporation would love to spend some money to squelch that story by now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, quick look in the media corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
And Summerbrook sent us one story from the Science Channel, science.discovery.com. I wish I got the Science Channel, because there's a series on right now called The True History of the Internet. And she made a comment that I would also have to agree with. They covered some stuff that I dealt with not too long ago. It doesn't sound,
I know. You know, within the last 10 years.
Well, for most people, the internet started 93, 94, when it really kind of went public. But mm-hmm. some of us were around a little longer than that. And yeah. They're making it sound like, you know, stone knives and bearskins. I'll tell you, it wasn't too long ago that one of the hardest questions to answer was, how do I get on the internet? There weren't ISPs just around the corner begging for your dollar.
Well, I'll be honest with you. When I first got online was in 95. I got my own computer. It was a newer computer, and I had a friend who worked conveniently. I just met him. He worked in ISP, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'll hook you up." And he starts typing away. Next thing I know, I'm online, and that was where I got started. So for me, it was 95. I heard about the internet off and on over the years, but didn't really realize what it was.
You youngster.
I know.
But still. Anyway, there's a lot that has happened since 95, you know, just in the last 10 years, you know, all that's come and gone. And I have watched this show, The Download, The Truth Story of the Internet, and it is pretty good. Some of it, a lot of it already knew. But there were some things that I thought was interesting, like when they're talking about the investors.
Mm-hmm.
And why they were investing on all these startups, because they're just looks like they're all going to fail anyway. Well, the problem was these guys did not, they felt that they couldn't afford not to fund these guys and not be a part of the next big one like Amazon or something like that. So they would throw $100,000, $200,000 at a startup, no problem. And one of the guys that was talking, I can't remember who it was, but he's like, you know, and if I had a net and I was standing on the street corner, I could almost just pick up the venture capital money out of there.
Hey, that would have been fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So he said, literally, I could almost do that. But he said it was nothing to walk into a meeting and come out with $100,000 startup capital right there.
And now you got Lisa just checking out the net, going wherever she wants.
Yeah.
Having a good old time. Where do you like to go, Lisa? Just taking a drink. Shrugging shoulders doesn't work on an audio podcast.
Where's some of your favorite places that you like to go on the internet?
I don't know.
You go to Neopets anymore?
Is that no, idontknow.com?
Oh. You go to...
I go to Addicting Games.
Addicting Games. Oh, yeah. What's that one you play? Fancy Pants? That's fun. That actually looks like a good time. It's amazing the quality of the games you can get these days off the net.
You know, my son is playing with the UB Funkies. Have you seen those?
No. Do you know what that is, Lisa?
Yeah.
You do?
What is it?
It's what he does is you have this little, it's a UB Funky hub, okay?
Well, that makes a whole lot of sense. What is that?
I'm working on the UB Funkies are like little what's that?
It's like a little guy that you can put on your computer.
Yeah, it's kind of like Smurfs or something in a way. But they all have different characteristics. And you have a hub, and in the back of that big character's head is where you put the smaller ones. So you go buy these smaller ones, and in the virtual world, the UB Funky world, you can access different portals. Each one has to access, all the little characters have different access to different zones. And so, you know, they get you to buy more of them and go around. But you play little games, and you put stuff in your house, and... because they give you gold coins and you mm-hmm. buy couches and stuff and get trophies in your trophy room. It's pretty cool. Harrison loves it. If it's at least it's gotten him off Pokemon for a while. But Pokemon is not gone.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with the Geek Library and then finishing out the show. It's almost time.
Now, Technorama,
with Chuck and Craig. I just laugh my head off at these guys. I'll always download their show. When I first listened, I thought, who needs to listen to this? But then I caught the bug. Now I'm a convert and really do appreciate the time and quality that these two guys put into their podcast. It makes traveling time so much more enjoyable, and I learn from it. It's got to be good.
This is Monardio, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
You know, with your daughter sitting in today?
Yes.
It's kind of breaking the mystique. She thinks this is a well-oiled machine, you know?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Speaking of well-oiled machines, or machines that should have been put out to pasture a while ago, we've got JT from the GigCast sends us more than a top 10 list. This is a dozens and dozens of
lists. I liked it when you just said
list.
JT, and I wish you would have stopped right there.
What?
Speaking of something that'd be put out to pasture, we got JT. Oh,
over at obsoleteskills.com, they've got a list of skills that you just don't need anymore, such as churning butter, cleaning heads of a VCR, character codes for EBCDIC. These are all labeled alphabetically, so I'm just going to flip through some real fast.
Booting up a floppy disk.
FDISC /MBR. Do you know what the MBR stands for?
Master Boot Record,
right.
I've used it, man. I'm there.
I know.
I wasn't born in 95. I just got on the internet in 95.
Hand crank a car to start it. What is this? How to live?
SCO Xenix administration. Wow.
JCL code needed to submit programs to mainframe.
Oh, here's a sad one. WordStar.
Lie making from ash. Manners? What the heck? Manners aren't an obsolete skill. Well, I guess some people may think they are.
Nowadays they are.
Mounting a computer tape by hand. Mummification.
Yeah, I went out a long time ago, I think.
Pascal and Turbo Pascal. What did you see, Lisa? Numbering your punch cards with a pencil in case you drop your program.
Mustache waxing.
I wax mustache all the time. If I had one.
You call that a stash?
No, it's more like I didn't shave for 2 days. I didn't bother since I didn't get up for church, you know? So it's like, eh.
You got to go over to obsoleteskills.com and check it out. Also, there is a link over at, I'm not going to give you the URL. It's too long.
Concern
but
for
we've
others.
We got it in the show notes.
Concern for others. That one's pretty much gone out too.
This is called Snake Bots. Apparently, there's a video where these engineers have made little modular snakes that are on a wire, and they can crawl up poles, crawl up crevices. They can do the inside of tubes, the outside of tubes.
This thing is fascinating. Did you watch the video?
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
So, it's fascinating. The thing would go up to a pole, wrap around it, and start rolling up it. It's like, wow, that's amazing. And I think he even had a camera placed on the end of it. So can you imagine using this? This is perfect for search and rescue, man.
Yeah. Little Timmy's trapped down a well. Send a snake after him.
Somebody drops a robot snake down there and he freaks out and has a heart attack because he thinks it's a real one. Oh, well.
Yeah, great.
Well, I know they've been trying to make robot snakes for a long time for search and rescue. That's why when I saw this, I thought it was very mobile for what it is. And,
no, that's a good idea.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, being able to send it in
like bomb diffusing things. You know, they send in robots all the time for stuff like that.
Sure.
Dealing with hostage and terrorist situations. Snake! Ah, run away!
But it stands up and shoots them. Yeah.
Thanks to listener Tom for that. We've also got one from Marv that just says, old computer guys are fading away. This is from Tech Republic. Actually, it says old tech guys are slowly fading away. And interestingly enough, he mentions one of our favorite places, the Computer History Museum. He says, I love visiting computer history sites and watching computer history shows. Why? When I visit these sites, I gain a perspective on a part of my life that I did not have at the time I was passing through it. Well, yeah, that kind of happens to all of us.
Yeah.
For example, when I first started programming in AppleSoft on an Apple II computer, I thought it would be the great business language of the future.
Woo!
Yeah, woot.
Then he woke up.
He said people would bring in their Trash 80 computers. Yes, we called them Trash 80.
Who didn't?
And ask us to repair them because the low... What?
Who didn't? Yeah, who didn't call them Trash 80s?
Right. He said they'd bring them in because the local Radio Shack didn't service their own stuff.
Yeah. That's funny.
That was great. He said, so number one on his list of favorite places to go is the Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California. Woohoo!
It is an awesome place to go. And I, you know, can't highly recommend that place enough.
And of course, I had to leave my comment on there that said, yeah, we've been there. You want to check out our video, and we're releasing a series of audio tours on that right now. That'd be great.
Due to come out on the 21st.
So check out the article in the show notes. Marv, thank you very much for contributing that. And it's got a lot of other good stuff in there, but we don't have time to go through it because we're over our time limit, Craig. We got to get out of here.
Oh, my gosh. Get.
Where does the time go?
Here you go. We appreciate your support, and if you like the show, there are many ways for you to show your love. Call and listen to the line at 206-222-CHAT-2428. You can email technorama at chuckchat.com. You can visit the website at chuckchat.com, or you can help us donate a tip jar. No.
You can donate. Leave it to the professional.
Hey, I was doing pretty good until I donated
the
tip jar.
Yeah, you were doing pretty good. I was just sitting back going, wow, this guy did a whole lot easier.
Or how about a review in the iTunes Music Store at Pop... Okay, I'll let you do it.
Or you can give us a review on the iTunes Music Store. Add us as a favorite in podcast. Now you got me doing it. Add us as a favorite in podcast pickle, or give us a vote on Podcast Alley or one of the many other podcast directories that's out there. Want to thank the following people for donating their time and talent to Technorama, keeping it going. Mad Mar for all the great blog content during the week. Scott Reynolds and Ustream, who keep our modest live streams going on Sunday night. If you happen to be around, we'd love to see you in the chat room. You can join the knitting club. This show is also a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. Lots of great tech content there, audio and blog. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media and all of the great audio content there. Soon, there's going to be video content, too, I understand.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
At farpointmedia.net. If you're getting the show the old-fashioned way by clicking on the link on the website, hey, we've got a way to get it to you automatically for free. Send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com, if you want more information on that. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And Lisa, you want to do the binary high five?
101.
She's
right.
A pro.
Yeah. Move over, Chuck.
You're listening to Technorama. Because geek is chic.